Morning. Good to see everyone out. Excited about today. Get to have a come to the Lord's house and worship and have a great time in there. And then we get to enjoy one another's company in the nice, cool Alabama August at Lake Wedowee. So we encourage everyone to come out to the Rice Pavilion this afternoon from 3 to 7. We'll have a time of fellowship. Going to have some fun. Got some inner tubes to ride and trying to get a hold of some water skis and different things. So we'll have some fun. Some food, that's a big important part. And if you've never been to Rice Pavilion, it's really nice. They've got big fans that we are available to us that you can sit in front of, and they'll nearly blow you out of your chair. They're so big. But you can you'll stay somewhat cool. I'm not telling you you're not going to sweat a little bit, but it's a good time. So encourage you to come out and be a part of it. Would love to have everyone there. I know we have this morning, several birthdays have been mentioned to me, so if you have a birthday this month, and I'm not going to make you tell your age, if you would have a birthday in August, please stand. Amen. Peyton, you got a birthday? It starts early. I wish a happy birthday to these, and I hope you have many more. I know that I fail to do this a lot of months, but thank God for giving you another one. I say that, and we take everyone for granted. I've never understood. There's some people don't like to know how old they are. I'm proud of every year that God allows me to be here, and Pat's been here more than most of us, and but thank God for her. Have any prayer requests this morning before we get going?
Goodness. There's so much inflammation he can't breathe.
Remember him.
Very sick at UAB.
Remember that. As you continue, remember my mother. I remember Maudie. She took her last chemo treatment this week and a few weeks rest, and she'll be taking some radiation. I ask you to remember the baby. Has anybody heard news on the baby that had the open heart surgery? Blake?
I heard she's doing good.
Doing good?
The doctors were surprised about how good her first surgery was.
Amen. Thank God for answered prayers. Glad to have Peggy back with us. She's doing well. God's healing her back to her much-worn health, and glad to have her back with us today. Do we have any more? Any I'm forgetting? If not, I ask you to pray that God keeps us safe today as we enjoy each other's company on the water, and that throughout this week, you'll keep us safe. And I think back over this year that's flying by. It's already in the, before we turn around, it's going to be the 10th month, that the sicknesses we've saw in our church, and we have really been hit with sickness and different things. But thank God we're coming through it, and he is still in control. He's never lost one ounce of control, so thank him for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll go into our worship service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. God, we thank you for mercy and grace, most of all, for sending your Son to die for us, that we as sinful people could have a relationship with you. And we thank you for that, God, and we take it for granted so many times, but Lord, let us see the importance of that today. God, these prayer requests have been made known. We ask that you grant in each situation what your will is. God, we want your way, for we know your way is perfect. And I'm so glad I can't have my way, because I would mess things up. And God, your way works for those who love you, and we love you here this morning. God, those that's went for treatments, we thank you for bringing them through it. Those that are going for treatments, we ask you for strength and understanding and peace as we go through that time. And God, we ask you to be with our community and be with our schools as they're started back. And Lord, we ask you for safety. We ask you for a great time that they can learn. And Lord, this morning as we come into the worship service, we ask that you help us to get everything off our hearts and minds and are looking forward to what's going on this evening and tomorrow. Let us forget all of that. Let us focus on you for just a little bit, and that God, you're worthy of our praise and our adoration. For in Jesus' name we ask these requests. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it through the raging storm. Don't worry over thunder. You're not going under. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it for the Master's on board.
God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it through the raging storm. Don't worry over thunder. You're not going under. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it for the Master's on board. Steadfast, you have Jesus on board. No storm has ever troubled our Lord. No one knows what life's gonna bring, but you're safe. You are a child of the King. So I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. By the grace of God, I wear a shining crown. Someday I'll be holding on.
Dear younger me, it's not your fault. You never meant to carry this beyond the cross. No. Dear young man, you are holy.
So I'll let my words be few.
Morning again. Good to see everyone out. Again, excited. I forgot something in prayer requests. I asked you to remember Misty and Patricia here. We'll be going to Noonan to learn of our cancer ministry. They're going to learn information to teach us of how to start our cancer ministry, Lord willing. And I was talking this morning, telling her I know there's going to be a lot of information. They've got 2 full days almost of information of how to start a cancer ministry through the Dream of Hope, I think it's called, there at the Cancer Center of America in Noonan. They'll be going Thursday morning. We've got classes all the way until 6:30 Thursday night. Then they go again Friday morning early, classes all the way to around lunch, and then they'll be coming home. So they're going to spend a night down there. So y'all be much in prayer for them. I told Pat that they teach us in Bible college that extremely intelligent person grasp about 10% of information as they sit in the classroom. So I told her if she comes back with two, I'll be pleased. Some of y'all didn't get that, but it wasn't as funny as I had it planned. Today, if you got your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter number 2. But in all seriousness, I do appreciate them giving their time and effort to go to find out more about how we can be a ministry to cancer patients in our area. I'm excited to see what they bring back to us. Excited to see what God's going to do in this ministry. Already, things is beginning to roll in. We've had donations already offered. We've had opportunities already offered for cancer patients with the pink fire truck, different things. So things already come together. So thank God for it. It's exciting when you see God's plan coming into being. But in Daniel chapter number 2 today, the title of the message is Overcoming the Impossible. Overcoming the Impossible. Every single one of us, whether you realize it or not, has overcome something impossible. If you're here today and you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and my friend, you have overcome something that was impossible. That's the Bible tells us it's impossible for a man to be right with God on his own doings, that it's impossible for a sinful being to stand in the presence of an almighty holy God. And today, if you've been saved by Jesus Christ, and you can do that, you can stand boldly before God. It tells us we can enter boldly before the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that God will hear us. And if you understand the scriptures, you'll know that that's impossible. The impossible was done, and the Bible tells in many places, what's impossible with man is made possible only through God. God overcomes the impossible, and He uses us. He uses circumstances, and thank God for this. But in Daniel chapter number 2, we begin reading in verse number 1 through 23. Not going to ask you to stand because a lot of reading, but I want you to listen very closely. As I was thinking as I was reading this week and began studying for it, I don't know that I've ever heard this scripture preached. I'm sure other preachers have preached it many times, but myself, I've never preached it, and I've never heard it preached that I know of. Most of the times we focus on chapter 1 where the Hebrew boys come in and where they denied the king's meat, or we go to chapter number 3 where they was thrown into the fiery furnace, or we're going down Daniel where he's thrown in the lion's den, and all kind of miracles was done in the book of Daniel. But this day here, there was an impossible request made, and only through God of heaven, that Daniel says, was the request granted. And I want you to understand this as we read Daniel chapter 2, verse 1 through 23. Says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherein his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king of Sirach, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show thee interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. And the king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me. Till the time be changed, therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. Then the Chaldeans answered before the king, and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler, that asks such things as any magician, or astrologer, or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded us to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with a counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said, Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king their interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house, and he made thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changed the times and the seasons and removed kings. and setteth up kings, and he giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwell with him. And I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom, might, and has made known unto me thou the what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known to us the king's matter. Father, we thank you for this word today. God, we thank you for your strong, mighty hand. And God, your understanding, your wisdom that you give me and still today. God, we thank you for overcoming the impossible. This dream looked impossible for anybody to know, but God, through your work, through your desire to save this nation, to save these boys, that God, you provided the information. And God, we thank you today. Lord, I ask you, Lord, if there's somebody on the sound of my voice that's facing the impossible, God, will you make known unto them the outcome of this thing? God, you may not can show them all of it, but Lord, would you give them peace? Will you give them understanding? Will you give them wisdom to overcome the impossible? For in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Did you understand as I was reading what was going on? If you want to back up just a little bit, you'll see that God had put Nebuchadnezzar, and that's the way I call his name. I know many people say different things, but I like to say it that way because my name's in the middle of that, if y'all don't notice it. But listen, Nebuchadnezzar here had been put in power of all of Israel. God had put him in power and had given him all, not just Israel, but all the earth, I believe, was under his power. And he had a great power, and God had, and in that, he had chosen him out, some of the greatest young people of Israel to come be in his kingdom, if you will. These who it says was good to look at. They was had a lot of knowledge. They had a God of wisdom. And you know in chapter 1 of where Daniel would not accept the king's meat. And God still blessed his health and made him to be what the king thought he should look like. And so you go on down and here in number chapter 2, God sends Nebuchadnezzar a dream. Now I began reading this and studying this, and Bible scholars disagree on this point. Some of them think that Nebuchadnezzar did not forget the dream. They think he was using it as a test for these boys. But whether he did or didn't, I don't know the answer to that. But we have to go with the Word of God, and I'm going to go with the Word of God and say that the king had forgotten the dream. Although he could have been a testament, we do not know. But listen, here he tells them that he had forgotten the dream. And he tells them, he says, whoever can make known unto me this dream, then I'm going to promote them in the kingdom. But if you can't tell me the dream, there remaineth one thing that's going to happen to you. You're going to be cut into pieces. He didn't say you might be. He said, I'm going to cut you into pieces if you can't know this. And he called for those astrologers, and they told him, they said, king, there's nobody that can do that. There's nobody that can pull that from your memory. Nobody can do that except they be a god. There's no way this could happen. My friend, may I tell you, they didn't know the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And by the way, that wasn't their name here. The evil kingdom here give them that name. God's name for them was these other names that's in the scripture. But he said, nobody can do this. And so it came to Daniel. And Daniel began thinking about this thing. Now, I want you to see something about Daniel. Daniel had something that 99.9999% of our nation have no longer. He had common sense. He had common sense. He had something that we so often look over. And whenever a problem arises in our life, bless God, we forget all common sense. We forget everything. We think that God ought to work mightily, and he will if it's his choosing. But my friend, God gave you a mind, and he expects you to use your common sense sometimes. He expects you to use what he has blessed you with, and one of them is called patience. I want you to see this. Daniel used great patience. Daniel chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 says, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And then Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time. And he would show the king the interpretation of what patience did Daniel use in this thing, y'all. The first thing he did is he went to the man who had come to kill him. And he said, look here, I want to talk to the king. He said, I need to talk to the king. He said, I need to know why this thing's so hasty. He took time. He had patience to figure it out. And you see what happens? And this is a place that I struggle with, is patience. So many times when problems arise in my life, I run headlong the other way of what I should be going. I don't take time to stop and to consult people and to talk about this thing and to figure out what it was. Daniel consulted with Arioch. He said, I need to know what's going on. And after he consulted with Arioch, his Bible says that he went and he consulted with the king. He said, king, I can do this thing, but I need to know what's going on. I need time, king. I need some time to figure this thing out. I need some time to get a hold of my God. I need some time. I want to show you something today. If Daniel had rushed in without being patient and waiting on God and using his common sense, he could have been cut into pieces. Because at this point, Daniel could not. He could not have interpreted that dream. God hadn't showed it to him yet. So if Daniel had to run into the king and said, "Oh, king, I can show you right now," he wouldn't have had anything to show the king. But Daniel, he showed a great patience when he said, "King, give me some time. Give me some time." Listen, how many times in your life have you been facing impossible and you thought time was about to run out? The old executioner was at the door, if you will. He was ready to cut you into pieces. And you had to come to the king and say, "King, I need a little bit of time." There's nothing wrong with asking more time. How many of y'all have payments in here? They used to offer something called a grace period. You know what that grace period was for? It's for you to figure out how to pay that bill, if the truth be known. But the grace period was there. In other words, you got this many days before that thing's kind of late. And y'all might be better than me, but you know what I do? I use it like I do God's grace. I use every bit of that up. I use all that grace period. And I want to have that extra time. But listen, why won't we go before her? What our problem's coming from, and say, "Hey, give us some time." But we decide we want to fix these problems on our own. We don't want to consult with the king. We don't want to consult with anybody else. I'm a man. I can fix problems. I know what to do. So surely I can underhand it. I can fix this thing. Daniel, he exhibited something that most of us don't have, is patience. Oh, I saw a shirt the other day. We was in some store. And an old man had a shirt on and said, "God, give me patience." I said, "That's a dangerous shirt. That's a dangerous shirt." I know a preacher one time said he prayed for patience. He was trying to figure out some things in his ministry. He prayed for patience and God laid him in a hospital bed for a solid week. He said, "Don't ever pray for patience. Don't ever pray for them. God might just grant them." But here he showed a great patience. This is what 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." God wants us to have patience and use what He's blessed us with, that thing called common sense and that thing called a sound mind. Now, for some reason we decide to lose it all when trouble arises. We get all upset. We don't know what to do. And we simply never take the time and the patience to go consult and to use that sound mind. Listen, it is a gift of God, it says. It says it has power, love, and a sound mind. These are gifts that God has bestowed upon us. And church, it's time that we learn how to use them. Have patience. When impossible is facing us, these gifts are most important. Rushing in, as I done said, could cost Daniel the whole thing. It could cost Daniel his life. And did you notice that Daniel, by the way, Daniel was more concerned with the lives of the other people than he was himself. Because he said he wants to see in the life of those wise men, astrologers. He had a love for them. Daniel was a true man of God. And Daniel had a true patience, and he consulted the very man who was killing him. He consulted with the king, and he asked for time. Church, what great patience did this man have? How many of y'all today have patience? You don't have to raise your hand. But if we was honest with ourselves, we're living in a time, I know I seem like I preach this and talk about it all the time, but we have absolutely no patience because we can have what we want today. I don't even have to mail a letter anymore. We can touch a button and our mail is going through email. I can get on my phone. I can see people on the other side of the world on video chat. I can do all these great things. So I don't have to have patience anymore. My friend, when it comes to the things of God, you have to have patience because God works on God's time. He don't work on your time. He don't work on my time. He don't work on iPhone time. He don't work by email. Bless God, you better have patience and wait on God. And that is so hard for me. So he bestowed great patience. The second thing Daniel done, he prayed. I know that I was writing this and thinking about it, and I said, "God, I preach about that all the time." And God was like, God was saying to me, "Well, there's nothing more important than prayer. There's nothing more important than you can do than get a hold of God." In Daniel chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, listen what he did. After he requested time from the king, he didn't go about and waste time. He didn't go about and decide he would just sit around the house and see what's going to happen. Or he didn't just get this time so he could put it off a little longer. He began immediately doing something, and he did the only thing he knew to do. Church, after you bestow great patience and you consult with the ones over the problem, then I encourage you to pray as Daniel did. It says, "Then Daniel went to his house and he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions." He went home. He went to his people who was his people and he said, "Look here, boys, we got a problem. This what has come up. And if we don't find a solution to this problem, we're about to be cut into pieces. There's only one decree." The king said, he said, "There's not jail time." He said, "There's not probation." He said, "If you don't find me an answer to this question, you're going to be cut into pieces." So they began to pray. Then Daniel went to his house, made things known. Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah's companions. Verse 18 said they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. Concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Y'all, he went home and he got on his knees before God and he prayed. Hey, when the impossible is coming, the first thing is to bestow some patience. The second thing is to start praying, crying out to an almighty God. Daniel knew he was empowered. Daniel knew who could change times. Daniel knew who could change kingdoms. He knew exactly who put that king in power. He knew who could control that king. He knew who had everything under his hand. Was nothing that God could not do. And Daniel believed that. You see, what's happened to us today as a church is we don't believe that. We don't believe it. How do I know we don't believe it? And what I'm about to say is not against anybody or anything or anybody. And I know that I love doctors. Hey, we need them. I love psychiatrists. There's times we need them. And I thank God for them. But listen, what we'll do, besides praying many times, we'll seek for other solutions. We'll seek for other avenues to come up with a thing. We'll go to them. We'll say, look, I've got this, this, and this. And listen, if we truly believe who God was, there wouldn't be so much anxiety in all of our nation. They say one of the most medications that people are on trying to get life insurance is anxiety medications. And if they need it, then thank God for it. But listen, if you don't, there's many times that these things could be cured if we had our faith in a true and a living God. And that's gone from our churches. It's gone from our preaching. It's gone from our teaching. For some time, we've been relying on one another. We've been taught if we don't, a man of great faith, then he can just walk as he is. Hey, a man of great faith will be on his knees before an almighty God. They would come and they would pray. He called out and he said, boys, we got an issue. He went to his companions. Boy, what great a lesson there is this for a church. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. It says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that shall ask, it shall be done for them, my Father, which is in heaven. You know what that teaches? That teaches corporate prayer. You get somebody by the hand and you come down and you pray with them. Or you call them on the phone or you text them or whatever it is and say, hey, brother, I need you to pray with me. I need some prayer for this problem. There's something impossible facing me and I need somebody to pray with me. All through James, it talks about corporate prayer. Corporate prayer is all in the Word of God. You can Google places in Scripture where it talks about corporate prayer and it's just full of them. You can't print them all out because God desires for us to pray with one another. He never meant for you to go through this life alone. He never meant for you to have to pray alone. He meant for others to come pray. Some of y'all older people in here, and I love the old people. I preached about them last week and I aggravate her about them, but as we was in service with them down there, and we dealt with a lot of older people in that congregation, and I saw something as one would come pray, you know what would happen? Two or three would be on their side. Some laying their hands on their backs, some touching their head, but there was people all around them. And you know why? Because it's in the Word of God. He says, go to them people and your companions and begin praying with them. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Get somebody and pray with them. Get somebody to help you pray. Hey, this possible, this thing was impossible. What you're going through in your life may be impossible. Impossible to you, but not with God. And the only way this thing's going to happen is if God steps in. The only thing this thing's going to be resolved if God works in your life. And my friend, if you can grasp that, and only in an impossible situation will many people pray. We'll say we pray, we'll talk about prayer, we'll preach about prayer, but when things look impossible, it's then that we get on our knees before God. And that's where we should be. But listen, and pray by yourself, and then call somebody to pray with you. What power we are missing in our churches because we don't pray with one another. Oh me. Oh me. We go there. We think about Scripture in James. Oh, that's for the Pentecostal churches, preacher. Well, they anoint the head with oil and lay their hands on them. No, it's not. It's biblical. It's plain. It's biblical. Now, you can anoint with oil if you want to. The Bible teaches the oil is a representation of the Spirit of God and the work of God. So you can or cannot do that. The main thing is knowing who you're calling out to and relying on Him to do the work. It's not the act we do. It's not the tradition we do. It's the power that lies in God to answer the prayers of His people. The Bible teaches that God wants nothing more than to hear you cry out. He loves to hear the cries of His people. We must surround ourselves with companions such as Daniel had. You say you have some friends. You say, oh, you don't know my friends, and I probably don't. But if you don't have any friends, you can call, and they will come and pray with you. And if you've got confidence they will pray with you, then you need to get you some more friends. You need to get some more people surround you with, because if you ain't got that, you're in a mess today. You need to have people that will pray with you. And by the way, not only do you need that, you need to be a person that will pray with people. You need to be a person that will call. If somebody calls upon you and says, will you pray for me? The sad thing is today's time, we've got it on Facebook, and we'll push a little button where the hands are and all that. And if you pray for them people, then that's great. I appreciate you and all this. But many times we push the button, and we never say a single prayer for them. And many times our prayer list, our Sunday school class becomes as nothing as gossip. We don't truly pray. And we wonder today, why in the world is there no power in the church? Why is the impossible not overcome? Because we're not calling on the one that can overcome it. He desires the cries of his people. Surround yourself with people who can get in touch with God. That's who you need to be around. Lastly, next, it ain't last, but Daniel chapter 2, verse 19, 23. A power worthy of praise. Then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwell with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who's given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. If you don't understand this, get this. God had just answered a mighty impossible task for Daniel. And Daniel stood there knowing that he had the words to give to the king when the time came. He knew he wasn't going to be cut in pieces. He wasn't going to be destroyed. And better, more than that, his friends weren't going to be destroyed. Daniel stood there with an answer, and he done exactly what we should do, is he began praising God, began thanking God, because he understood something, that this was a man who was worthy of honor, who was worthy of praise. Nobody can answer like the God of heaven. Listen to what he said. He said, there's nobody that knows the times. Nobody that knows the understanding. There's nobody but God who can remove kings. Verse 21. He changes times. He removes kings. He sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Listen, if you're wise today, it's only of God. If you have understanding of the scriptures, God has blessed you with it. And God, listen, there's no other being on the face of the earth or in heaven or anywhere else that has ability to change time. But God can change time. Even in the scripture, my friend, he made time stand still one time, didn't he? He may have done it more than once. I don't know, but God can do that thing. God can change times. He puts people in power. They say, well, we voted for President Trump. And yes, I believe we did. But listen, I believe God put him in power. I believe God puts all of them in power for a reason. He can set up kingdoms, but he can also tear them down. And he knows everything. Listen, he says he even knows what's in the darkness. The dark things, God knows them. The very darkest thing that's going to happen in our nation within a year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, God knows them. He knows all about it. He says the secret was revealed to Daniel, the night vision. He said he removes. God showed him. God showed him the dream. He said, I know now that nobody can do this thing but my God. He said, gives him wisdom and understanding. He revealed the deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the lights dwell with him. The only light that we have is within God. God dwelling within us is the only light we have. Everything else of men is darkness. I was thinking just this weekend about men, even great men, about how dark things has come upon them. And then we hear of other men who's gotten caught up in dark things. And listen, we know this to be the fact, that the only light truly in a man is God. Everything else of man is darkness. All of our thoughts of evil, the desires of our heart are evil. Everything about us is evil. The only hope we have is Jesus Christ, who is the light, dwelling in us. And listen, Daniel got a hold of this. Daniel understood something, that only this God can give answers. Only this God knows the heart. Only this God knows the outcome. Only this God knows what's going to happen in 2020 election. Only this God can handle those things, and he's worthy to be praised. Why can we not praise him? Why can we not praise him? He knows the things in the darkness. He says, I thank thee and I praise thee, O God of my fathers, who's given me wisdom, might, and has made unto me what we desired of thee. Thou hast now made unto us the king's matter. As the scripture goes on, Daniel goes into the king. But I want you to notice something. Daniel was a man of integrity. Daniel went to that man, Arioch, who first came to him. Listen, Daniel had access to the king, by the way. Daniel could have went in and talked to the king himself. But he went through the right channels because he wanted this man Arioch to be given his due reward also. So he went to this man Arioch. He said, "Hey, I've got the answer." He said, "Great, let's go to the king." So they took off to the king. They went in there and Daniel began telling the king. He said, "King, I know what it is. God has showed it to me. I've got your dream. Right here, I'm fixing to tell you something." So Daniel spills the whole thing out before the old king. He tells him everything. And some of that stuff wasn't even popular the old king wanted to hear. Some of it wasn't good. But Daniel didn't. He didn't hold anything back. Daniel told him exactly what God had told him. And Daniel was telling this king as he was doing it. He was probably, I believe he was preaching as hard as he could as he told the king what the truth was. Then in Daniel chapter 2, verse 46 and 49. Not only did Daniel face an impossible situation, but in the end of this matter, Daniel was promoted. Listen, he was promoted. It says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel." We know that was a mistake, but he did it. King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel, commanded they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And the king answered Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." Then the king made Daniel a great man, gave him many great gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king that he sent Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the prince of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. I want you to get this. He went from death row to the palace. He went from death row of being cut into pieces to sitting in the gate of the king. My friend, I don't know about you, but that's a great promotion. When it looked like you was fixing to be cut into pieces, it looked like time was over, you had no hope, and all of a sudden you turn around and by crying out to God and your friends praying with you and relying on God, that you go from one day's time from being cut into pieces to sitting in the very palace with the king. That's the kind of God I serve. That's the kind of God that has power. There's none that has this kind of power but the God of heaven. And verse number 28 of Daniel, I didn't pin it down, I want you to listen to this. Daniel says this over and over, "But there is a God in heaven. But there is a God in heaven." When your impossible situation comes up, I want you to remember these little words, "There is a God in heaven." There is a God in heaven who cares for you. There's a God in heaven who controls all things. There's a God in heaven who controls all provinces and times and everything. And there's nothing in this world or the world to come that the God in heaven does not control. So why in the world does your situation look impossible? Because you haven't yet realized that there is a God in heaven. You say, "Oh no, preacher. I've been saved. I can tell you what year. I can tell you the time." Praise God. But still in your heart and your mind, it's not settled that there is a God in heaven. I'm talking about a God in heaven. I'm not talking about one of the gods. I'm talking about the God is in heaven. The God who created all earth, all time, all space and everything, He is in heaven. Now think about that. And He says, "If I be for you, who can be against you?" And can anybody tell me who you believe that could whip the God in heaven? Who do you believe that can overtake the man who created all? He spoke it into existence. He thought about it and it come to pass. He can control anything he wants to control. And all of a sudden, I got an impossible situation and I get down and out and I think, "God, there's nothing I can do." At that point, one thing has happened. I forgot there's a God in heaven. I do it in my own life. Impossible situation comes. There is a God in heaven. Things come, the doctor tells me, that I don't want to hear. There is a God in heaven. Looks like this is not possible. There's a God in heaven. My friends, with God, all things are possible. The impossible can be overcome. You may be here this morning, and I don't know what your problem is, but if you're a human being, we learned in our Sunday school lesson, there's three things. Three things that cause us distress. Anybody remember what it was? People, possessions. What was the other one? Yeah, it was a problem. Problems, people, and possessions. That plagues every single one of us. We all have problems. We all have to deal with people. We all have to deal with our possessions. And some of these things become impossible. You may be dealing with an impossible situation at work. You may be dealing with an impossible health situation. You may be in an impossible situation in your finances, maybe even in your life, maybe in your personal life, maybe in your marriage, maybe in anything. I don't know what it is. It may look like an impossible situation. I'm going to leave you with the greatest thing I know to leave you with. There's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. As y'all would stand, and Paz, you'd come forth. Somebody in this place right now is dealing with an impossible situation. There is a God in heaven. You say, well, you don't know it. I ain't got to know it. There's a God in heaven. He revealeth a dream to Daniel that nobody else knew it but him and the king. God made that thing happen to preserve not only this young boy, but his friends and his companions, who some of them was even of the Chaldeans. That's the kind of care this God of heaven has. You don't have a problem too big that he can't handle it. Will you bring it to him? You see, Daniel understood if that thing was going to be overcome, he had to be on his knees before God. The first thing he did after he consulted about time was he got on his face with his friends and he prayed. If you'll come pray, there are people that will come with you. I want to help you this morning. Through the Word of God, I want somebody to get some help to understand there is a God in heaven. You may be here today and you're facing an impossible situation. It looks like hell's to be your eternity. You say, I prayed, I've done this, this, and this. I don't know what to do. If God is enlightening that heart today and tugging at your soul, then the Bible tells us that's the time you can be saved. It says, come to Him. There is a God in heaven. He makes the impossible possible through the sending of His Son upon earth and to live a perfect life and to die a terrible death. Crucified on a tree, was put into the grave and arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. Your problem is not impossible. Your problem simply needs to be brought before the King. Needs to be consulted before the King. Will you come? Will you come? It's not impossible.